Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everybody. We'd like to ask you to join us. Get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee, and we are looking into the Word of God, and which we love. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Brett, also from Vancouver, Washington.
And we're going to be singing what scripture?
This is Psalm 12, 6 and 7. I think it's either just 6 or 6 and 7. You can be the judge of that. All right. And this is a song, I believe this was also given to one of my friends here, Mark, here in Vancouver.
The words of the Lord are pure words like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Purified seven times, the words of the Lord are pure. You shall keep them, O Lord, you shall preserve them from this generation forth. Purified seven times, purified seven times, the words of the Lord are pure. Purified seven times, purified seven times, the words of the Lord are pure.
And we definitely know by experience and experimenting that the book of Psalms is definitely not Old Testament law. It's in what people call the Old Testament, but it's not Old Testament. It's very spiritual. I'd say it's just as New Testament as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Wouldn't you, Andy?
Yeah. Oh, sure it is. Look at all the things that it talks about. For example, in Psalms 11, it says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the foundations are introduced by Jesus, John the Baptist, and Jesus, and even in the book of Hebrews, it gives a list of these foundations. So, yes, I would say that Psalms 11 is directly tied. So if Psalms 11 is directly tied, I don't believe that any other of the Psalms would be exempt from being tied there.
It was interesting, a lot of publishers, when they would produce a New Testament, they would also do New Testament and what, Andy?
Proverbs.
Psalms
and Proverbs, yeah.
Well, they did Proverbs too, but I know most of them did at least Psalms and Proverbs, or pardon me, Psalms and
the
New Testament.
Sure, even the little books that they give out in the military, they've got Psalms and New Testament.
Psalms and New Testament, and sometimes Psalms and Proverbs is another great one. So don't limit your attitude or mind towards the Old Testament. How about before man fell? The first two chapters of the book of Genesis. That's not Old Testament. They weren't under the law. They were sons of God living with God. They were living in perfection. That doesn't belong in the Old Testament, does it? So, Genesis chapter 1 and 2.
Well, so we got Genesis chapters 1 and 2, and 100, and by the way, 150 Psalms.
Right. And if you think of Proverbs the same way, which it looks like it is also, you've got another 31
chapters.
So there's a whole lot more in the New Testament.
And a lot of things that Isaiah talked about were about the New Testament, and what Jeremiah talked about and what Ezekiel talked about. Should I go on?
They talk about in the last 66 books in the Bible, 66 chapters in Isaiah, the last chapter talks about the new heaven and new earth, new heavens and new earth, exactly like the book of Revelation. It actually, you can't understand Revelation, you have to go back to some portions of Isaiah, and it fills in the details. Some of those are New Testament.
Well, sure. God mixes things around where he wants to, and we have to just kind of get used to that.
Quit listening to people. Read the Bible yourself. Seriously, read the Bible yourself, and you'll see these things. They're very plain and very evident. I was listened to by a lady in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and there we happened to hit the Arbitron ratings. We weren't like the churches. For some reason, people were really listening to us. There were several thousand people listening to us in this Saturday where we had an open mic where we would invite people to talk to us. We had a live show, and no other person hit the Arbitron ratings, but this show did, because people like to hear the Bible being taught, and they liked hearing the Greek and the Hebrew languages. And this lady confessed to me later on, whom I know very personally now, she and her husband, and her, I know her kids, her grandkids, and some of them were raised on our couch, some of the kids coming and listening to Bible on our couch from the time they were 3 years old. And 7 and 8. So they would come, and the kids were really funny to watch them grow up using the Bible. I know I am in touch today with some of them. Some of them are very dear to me. And this lady was listening, and she goes, "That's just not right," because she'd gone to church all her life. "That's just wrong." So she'd go to her Bible, and she'd go to prove me wrong, and there it was, and it was exactly like we said, because we were just reading the Bible. And we'd read it in its completeness, context by context. And then she did that several times. And finally, she goes, "Well, I'm going to go to that website, gilbertandfriends.com. And she prints out the foundations. She starts doing them herself. And she finishes all of repentance where it says, change your mind. And that'll change your mind. If you study that out, metanous, all of a sudden you realize that's a first principle in God to be able to change your mind. Well, then she got into faith, and she thought her computer was broke, because all of a sudden she hears all these pages coming out, you know, from the printer. She goes back in and checks on it, and she realized that faith was a big study. There was a lot of pages to faith.
You know, there's only about a little over 700 verses in regard to that in the New Testament.
On faith?
Yes.
And guess what she did? She finished both of those, and then she gave me a call. And then we started fellowshipping together. And sometimes we'd be talking, and she'd see things I didn't see, and I'd go, "Oh, yeah, you're right. I was wrong on that one. I get it." So we'd all be repenting together. We invited her into a group of repenters, people that would listen to what the Scripture says, hold that of a higher authority, and we'd all be changing our minds today. But she was telling that story on herself, and I thought that was pretty funny. But since that time, we've moved off the Christian radio and gone into just secular talk radio. And that's what we are playing these now. And we're getting a lot of response from people. So that's been an interesting experience. I didn't want to even be in that circuit anymore. What do you think about doing that, Andy?
I think that's good to get out of something. It's a mess. So get out and talk to the crowds. It's like the crowds in the Bible.
So you did it. They did it for a while.
Sure.
But it's really better to get into the crowds and talk to the people. So that's where we started in that. And then we started opening our eyes to where we want to be heard, where we want to introduce people to the Bible, to encourage them to read. And the more you read, if you find seven scriptures on something, it purifies, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And there's, I don't know how many sevens of scriptures are in Revelation. You're a counter, Andy. How many scriptures on repentance?
I think about 150.
Okay, divide that by seven. So you got at least 20 pairs of sevens. You can really purify your attitude towards changing your mind and really get an idea of what God is talking about.
700 is 70. 70 is a big number in the Bible.
70 is actually 100. 100, if you divide 700 by 70.
70 of them.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a lot. It's a lot of sevens.
I told someone it was, I said, okay, well, you know one thing about faith now, and here's this study, and there's not many, that many more to go into. And they go, well, how many? And I told them, like, 714. And they're like, well, it's there's a lot of things about God's faith. God's set of beliefs is bigger than a man's.
What's funny is this lady didn't call me until she had done all of repentance and faith.
That's a lot.
I think that's the story she said. So, but at first she's going, oh, that's just not right. Oh, that's just not right. It's a cute story, I think.
She spent a lot of time with the Bible before she called you.
I am sure we all said that's not right for a bunch of times before we came to meet the Lord, too. I mean, that's just the human nature. It just takes us all a while.
Or is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know anything. Is that what it is?
Right. Who is this guy?
Yeah.
We read through the book of, chapter 24, Jesus went out of the temple, and his disciples came to him and showed him the temple, and he answered them, you see all these things? There's not going to be one stone left on another that will not be thrown down. And what's going to happen is this is the end of the physical temple being a man-made structure. And in the book of Acts, we enter into the place and time where our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be made of stone and wood and gold and so on. It'll be made of human flesh. It'll be living. It'll be a living Bible, and with problems that when they repent, God is going to start in the heart. It's made of three parts. God made man in his own image, and 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. It talks about the three parts of man, the three creations that made it. Bara, make from nothing. Heart of man is made from bara. Then God formed the clay, yatzer, another word for create, and he formed it. And then he breathed into his nostrils, and God goshad. He took existing materials two times, yatzer and gosha, and formed a man, flesh, and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But first it starts with God creating from nothing. And so we have three chambers exactly, or three different parts to us, exactly like the temple, same thing. But he starts by cleansing the Holy of Holies first. He wants us to have a clean heart, creating me a clean heart, that's bara, in Psalms 51, and renew a right spirit within me. And so he creates in us from the beginning, there's not going to be an old wood, stone, and so on temple, but a new living temple. And every person is going to be that is born again, born from above, born up, is a temple. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit if the Holy Spirit dwells in you? And so isn't it interesting how he's looking ahead to that? Jesus is. We know that by looking ahead later on. But he's preparing them, and he goes these verses right here. Where do we start with him going into the temple? Was that 19? Jesus in the temple. Nope, it's 21. Okay. Jesus goes into entered the temple. And then there's a lot of information here, 21, 22, and 23, where he is in the temple. And it's interesting, he's going at the heart of the issue. He's going at our body, And we are going to get a brand new temple. We're not going to worship in a building, but we will worship God in spirit and in truth. There's not going to be one stone left on another that will not be thrown down. So as they were sitting in the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? So what is the picture here? What's the picture here? They came to him in private asking him, what will these things be? So it's Jesus and who?
The disciples.
Solamente. That's it.
That's it.
Just no others. Just the
13 of them.
Anyway, they were on the Mount of Olives, the disciples, and they're on the Mount of Olives. That's interesting too. So he asked, when will these things? He asked, when, what, and what? They asked, when, what, and what, right? So number one is when, time-wise. And there's two whats. When and what will be the sign of your presence and the consummation of the age, the end of the age. There was an era when man was perfect before God and then he fell. So that's about 120, 130 years. That's a short time. And man lived forever. Then there was an era in, you go to Genesis chapter 3, and man falls. And we're still in that era, the fallen man still here. And men were living till about 1,000 years almost. You know, Adam lived almost 1,000 years. Methuselah lived almost 1,000 years up to the flood. You don't see Enoch living that long because, what, 600, 500, 600 years because the Lord took him, because he walked with God. He walked with God 300 years, then the Lord took him. We don't know how much he lived beyond that. I think his total life was a bit more than that. But he walked with God 300 years, and the Lord took him. Anyway, that time limit of man up until the flood, there was something different about the world. Even the world changed at Noah's flood because men lived to about 1,000 years. And then that was about 1,600 years till the time of Noah was like Enoch lived 1,000 the first millennia. Then the second millennia goes to Abraham, but sometime between Enoch 1,000 years and 2,000 years was the flood. It was about 1,600 years. And then the flood, and all of a sudden, man's life was cut in half. Then he lived about 500 years, and that's because of the flood. But then man did something after the flood. He decided to make his own religion, and that's where the churches, all the different churches started. Before then, there was one, God, the worship of God. But then men started, they wanted to make themselves a name. And so, and they were all one of one mind up until that time. They were of one language. And that's where Babel started, where now we have 8,000, 9,000 languages today. And God cut their lifespan down to even in half again, from 500 now to 250. And that happened all pretty fast and happened before the time of Abraham. But Abraham was still living to about 178 years, something like that, 175, 170.
Yeah, I think it was a buck 75.
Buck 75. And anyway, he lived to 175 years of age, and then it started really going down. David passed away at age 70, and he was even ailing before that time, where he had to have this person keep him warm because he didn't have any relations with that person, but they kept him warm because it was just...
couldn't regulate heat?
It was a heat issue, and turned the heater on. Well, anyway, you could see
that... interesting, the people in the Tower of Babel, they had all one language and they had all one religion.
Yeah.
So we confused all of their languages, and what did they do then? The confusion of... all the confused languages, each confusion got together and got their own religion. Well, that's a picture, isn't it?
They wanted to make themselves a name, so you name your church. We're the this, we're the that, we're the southern this, we're the northern this, we're the and some of them have the longest names. And really, we're not to have any name. We're just God's children. And the name was always given as the name of the town. This group of people, Ecclesia is a called-out group, called out group in Ephesus or Genesis or Galatia and so on. It just got worse and worse for man. As he got more and more ideas, it just didn't go up, it went down. So they were asking the sign of the coming, the present age, and we know about the Old Testament age that came about 2,500 years approximately, I'm just going to be really general, after Adam through Moses. And that Old Testament age, not the whole Old Testament, we call the Old Testament, but 2,500 years after Adam. Even Abraham was not living in the Old Testament age. He was living by faith. It says that in the book of Hebrews 11. We already went through this. And so we're all messed up as to ages. But they wanted to know when the consummation of this age, and they were living in the Old Testament because this is just before Christ died. So from 1,500 years from the time Christ died, go back 1,500 years, or go from Adam, go 2,500 years, and after Abraham, you have the Old Testament age starting with Moses. And so from Moses to this time is the Old Testament law. The Old Testament law was given to Moses. So they wanted to know when the end of this Moses law age is going to be. That's what they asked him. And Jesus said the temple is going to be torn down. And that temple was actually part of that law, part of that time. And what will be the sign of your coming and the consummation of the age? And Jesus said to them, take heed that no one lead you astray. First thing he says, don't anybody lie to you. And here you have lots of ideas about the coming of the Lord.
There's going to be a lot of lies.
Yeah. Group is going to say he's in a closet in the 1920s, and a group said that. And they're still going strong today. They go out two by two and tell about that. Well, they don't tell the same story they told in the 20s because it was found out to be totally false. What's the next thing says? What will be the sign of his presence and the consummation of the age? And Jesus said to them, take heed that no one lead you astray. For many will come in my name saying, I am the anointed one. Christ means anointed one. And shall deceive many. So how many people are going to be deceived? And I think that in a more correct translation, even the pans, I think it's most. They're going to deceive most. We can look that up and verify
the
that.
The one that says the love of most will
right.
grow cold.
Right.
I'm not sure about that.
And he
one.
Said many in panons
yeah.
instead of most. But I think it's most here too. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For it must come to pass, but the end is not yet. You're going to hear, are we hearing of wars and rumors of wars? It's never stopped, has it?
Mm-mm.
Yep, still happening.
See that you're not troubled. Are people troubled today? Are people resting today? It says, see to it you are not troubled. It's going to be normal in the last days. It must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, earthquakes in diverse places. But all these are what? The beginning of birth pangs. And they shall deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated of the nations for my name's sake. And many will stumble and shall deliver up one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and shall deceive many. And because lawlessness shall be increased, the love of most shall wax cold. The love of most. I'd be interesting to see if that many is the same Greek word back in verse 5. But it goes on and says, but who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. So what is the big key thing here?
Enduring to the end?
Yeah. Enduring till the end. And it goes on and says, the gospel will be preached in all the earth. But what is going to be, what in verse 15, what is the big clue? There's something that Jesus says, when you see something, and he is the creator, he knows all things. He says, when you see something, in verse 15, what are we going to see? What actually are we going to be able to see?
the something called the abomination of desolation, which is spoken of through Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place.
Oh. Now, Jesus says back here, not one stone is going to be left upon another. What is that saying, Andy?
He's saying something that it's not a building if there's no stones left on another. And how can something be seen in a place that there's stones?
Or, on the totally other hand, what is it saying? Do you think the temple's going to be rebuilt?
So the only way that could actually happen is to have the temple rebuilt so it can have a holy place, so something can be seen there.
Do you think the Jews maybe have all the stones? Everything was to be, all the hammering and chiseling and everything was to be done off-site. It's just like God doesn't want you to spank your kids in the fellowship. Take care of it at home and do it gentlemanly and ladylike. Don't be beating your kids up in a church.
Or showing off like you're good.
Like you're a good disciplinarian or whatever. So if not a sound of a chisel or a hammer is to be heard on the Temple Mount site, what is that saying? Are we talking about a prefab temple?
Prefab, ready to go.
It's just like they built the original one. Prefab, right. Built off-site. All the chiseling was done off-site. They just have to pack it in, set it up. All the furniture is made. It's already been sanctified. It's in Jerusalem. It's ready to go.
I've seen things on that years ago.
How soon do you think this really is? Is it going to shock a lot of people when all of a sudden that temple gets built? When the Jews really finally get control of Jerusalem and there's no more Palestinians in there, or they really get control of those folks? Because only one quarter was the Jewish people, this quarter or that quarter. And they are silently kicking people out of there. Do you know that?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the biggest things that they've got, like, wars over there for is they're, you know, they've got those big old walls so that the Jews can stop moving in, you know, but it's not really stopping them.
Nope. They're slowly getting, they've actually got a wall almost all around Jerusalem and Israel. They don't have all their territory, but this is not talking about the whole territory. This is talking about the Temple Mount site.
Right.
Me, I've got a personal opinion on this. I think all the furniture, everything for the temple is ready and built, and it's off-site, and all they have to do is clear the site and have military control over that site. So it says, when you see the abomination that makes desolate standing in the holy place, we're going to be seeing the temple first being erected. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.